I once heard a song in a bar that changed the course of my life, literally. 3 minutes of song righted my course and set me on a path that actually led me to my husband. Today, we're going to talk about something that seers like myself know that isn't always as obvious to everyone else. Here's the thing. Even if it's not obvious to all, it's actually true for all. All on today's Intuition for Changemakers show.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.
Do you remember that a world on fire is also a world ripe for solutions? Do you feel committed to gorgeousness in your life, this world, and for those who inhabit our planet? Did you know that already inside of you, you have the perfect tool to help you navigate these times, adding positively to your life and the world? Friends, here is the great news. Intuition works at lightning speed, and you were born with it. It's the internal sense that you have uniquely tailored to you and designed to not only set you on the roads that are best for you, but also help you avoid the ones that are treacherous. I'm your host, Aimée Cartier. I've been a professional psychic since around 2007. I'm the author of the book, Getting Answers, Using Your Intuition to Discover Your Best Life. I've been teaching others to understand and use their own intuitive brilliance for more than a decade. Join me each week on the Intuition for Changemakers show for true stories and tools that will inspire you to harness your intuitive birthright to heal, shine, tend, and nourish yourself and this world. Vashonians, I've got something special just for you. On Saturday, April 19th, I'm offering a free online workshop called Intuition for Activists. We'll gather from 10 to 11:30 a.m. It's been circulating through the newsletters of some island organizations like Indivisible Vashon and Women Hold the Key, but I thought you should hear it here as well. And if you are a person who circulates information to an activist organization on the island and would like to put it to your people too, please get a hold of me. You can email me at contact@spreadingblessings.com. I'll forward you the write-up. You can also go to aimeecartier.com/IFA. That's IFA, short for Intuition for Activists. Hello. Welcome. If you are a regular listener of the Intuition for Changemakers show, you know I love to start the show by a shout out to a person who has taken the time to review or send me a message about a previous episode. Here is Vita. She said, "Hello, my name is Vita. I'm from upstate New York. I love listening to your podcast. You've been an inspiration to me and helped me seek my intuition that I have always had but never utilized. Thank you so very much." Hi, Vita from East Syracuse. I am so glad. Thank you for taking the time to tell me so. I love hearing that the show is inspiring you to listen to your own inner wisdom, because that's exactly why I do the show. It is my intention. So thank you. I've entitled today's show, What Psychics Know That You May Not. For years, I have used the title psychic, and nothing about me has changed, except that I really prefer the word seer. It's just always felt like a word that described me best, the most resonant to me. But I don't know how many people understand or know the word seer. It's not one we use a lot. I've yet to find the word for me that is the most resonant and one that everybody gets immediately. And I was telling my friend Michelle Johnson a while ago in her podcast that I really don't ever even seek out the word psychic. And then I did on the internet to see what came up. And I was like, ooh, most of this is just not resonant with me and my work. So psychic, seer, spiritual guide, soul guide, those all could be accurate. That's what people come to me for. That's what I do. When I started doing readings nearly two decades ago now, I used the word intuitive. But then at some point, I was like, you know, everyone is intuitive, but not everyone does readings. I guess that's where the title psychic emerged, obviously, for me as a way to describe what I do. But you know, I was, and I am also, an author. So for example, when meeting someone new, I could always choose to say I'm an author instead of using the psychic word, which is bound to have maybe somebody making a joke or feeling uncomfortable. Then, as an interesting antidote that just incidentally ties into a story I'm going to tell today, around the day I turned 40, like for real, within a couple of days of that event, I woke up and I wholeheartedly embraced the word psychic. Or it might be more accurate to say I woke up and I had a wholehearted body and soul experience that it was a total waste of my energy to pretend I was anything other than that, even to myself, even if it was weird to some people. It mostly felt like I just stopped giving two cents about what anyone else thought of me and that word. It seemed to accurately describe the giving readings part. So I've been using it ever since. But these days, or actually even before that, but these days, even though I still use that word and I've used it in the title, I'm very lukewarm about the word psychic, mostly because I think it just gives a weirder impression when I am quite normal. At least I think so. Grounded, practical, not at all airy-fairy. Don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with being airy-fairy if that is who you are, but I don't feel that I am that. Okay, so that was a long wind-up to what I am about to talk about, maybe unnecessary, unless you've got a title you think to gift me. I would love to hear about it if this is the case. You can text or email, all the things. Because today on the Intuition for Changemakers show, we are going to talk about the thing that psychics, that seers like myself, know that you may not. The thing seers live and breathe and feel innately, maybe, but which is also true for everyone else too. And that is this. The universe is responsive to you, like very responsive. We tend to think as humans, we tend to feel like we're going it alone. I suspect it wasn't always so. There were times in life, and there are certainly still places on Earth where humans live more in community than we do now in the Western world, with approximately one nuclear family to a house. So over here, it feels easy to forget that we are part of the whole. As a culture, as a peoples, it often happens that we continually forget now that the universe, source, goddess, the very fabric of the world in which we live, is something that we are a part of. And so very naturally, something in which we are in relationship with, in communication with today. So I'm going to tell you some stories that will hopefully help you remember how the universe, source, goodness, love is always talking to you. My own meditation teacher once said, sow your intention, sow your attainment. Not make a plan and hope for the best. That's not what she said. She said, sow your intention, sow your attainment. That's another version of the universe is responsive to you. People who talk about manifesting, another characterization of the same conversation. Now, there are all kinds of rabbit holes we could go down due to this subject or within this context. But to stay on the one I would like to go down, the practical one, as it were, let me tell you some stories so that you can see what I mean for yourself. I once heard a song in a bar that changed the course of my life, literally. 3 minutes of a song righted my direction and sent me on a path that actually led me to my husband. I told you some probably surprising parts of my husband and I's story in the last show, episode 87 of the Intuition for Changemaker show. Remember how I said I could write a rom-com of our courtship exactly as it happened, and no one would believe it was true? Well, I would probably start the narrative of the story at a place just shortly before my husband and I got together. At a point in my life where I was haunted by another man. Or at least the idea of him, I should say. He was not actually haunting me, and that was the problem. He was unavailable. Not unavailable as in attached to someone else, just emotionally and energetically unavailable. And he had even told me as much. Still, I could not get him out of my mind. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. I hope you don't, actually. It's terrible. That person for whom, for one reason or another, is unavailable and yet just keeps haunting your mind. Well, this guy was that for me, through no fault of his own, I might add. So that's where I was at in the story. Single, in my mid-30s, unattached, free as a bird, as I think of it when I look back on it now, meaning unencumbered by the responsibilities that go hand in hand with bringing children into the world, for example. I was just a roving mid-30s woman who basically did whatever she wanted, whenever she wanted. And one weekend, I went down to Portland to spend some time with a girlfriend of mine. We went out to hear some music and have a beer at some bar. I cannot remember what establishment it was, nor, sadly, can I remember the name of the artist who started playing while we were there. Even though his song redirected the course of my life forever. We were sitting in the bar, sipping our beer at a booth when a man started playing, I think his mandolin. Obviously, he was the entertainment for the evening. As soon as he started playing this song, it was like my senses became heightened. In my book, Getting Answers, I call this moment one with a signature of spirit. Something about the moment stands out. It feels out of time. Your senses are heightened or altered in some way. This song pulled to me. I got up from the booth where I was sitting and went over to where he was playing to listen. The song was about unrequited love. Exactly my predicament, though I would probably call mine unrequited longing. It was a song about a woman he loved who was unavailable. The story unfolded in the lyrics. He tried and tried to make it work with her, and yet the result in the end was the same. nothing. And the song was his dawning realization of the importance of walking away. This musician had his whole heart and soul in that song. He had his eyes closed and was belting it out with feeling and power. It was a song about pining for someone who just couldn't partner you. While watching him, I felt his emotion so strongly in my body and obviously immediately recognized the resonance to my own situation. Diving deeply into the emotion of the song with him, riding the wave he had incited, but that also existed in my own body, I realized thoroughly, inside and out, that pining for this elusive man was a complete waste of my time. One, apparently, just like the musician, I had already spent months on. That moment, that song, that 3 minutes changed my life. Listening to that one song, one time, one fall evening while visiting a girlfriend in Portland, gave me everything I needed to choose a different road. Literally, from that moment on, I dropped all thoughts of this unavailable man. I concluded the story in my journal that evening after coming home from the bar, mentioning what I had received from the song and that moment, and did not look back. His name did not appear again in the pages of my writing. That song, that musician, sadly, I don't remember the name of either, was the universe, source, being responsive to me, helping me course correct. That information, that moment, that art allowed me to gracefully chart another better course for myself, one that did not include yearning for an unavailable man. Here's another interesting twist in the rom-com of my husband and I's story. On our second date, I went over to his house and he made me dinner. While I was standing at his counter in the kitchen, I looked down and on a piece of paper was a list of names. The man for whom I had been pining was on this list. And his name was the only one whose name was crossed out. That was another signature of spirit moment for me. I asked my husband, then my second date dude, about it. And it was a list of people that he needed to connect with before his upcoming trip to Thailand. This person was already off the list. I remember standing there and looking down at that list so well. A confirmation from spirit of what I already knew. I can still see it perfectly in my mind's eye. So the universe is responsive to you. It's what seers like myself have known for ages. You are a player in something profound and amazing and benevolent, and it's listening to you. Here's another story I may have mentioned before in some episode. When my son was 6, he frequently mentioned that he wanted a boat. Like around that time, I probably started before he was 6. My husband and I were totally not even considering getting a boat at that time. Then one day we were at a raffle and basically my son won a boat. and it was the perfect boat for him. It was this inflatable river raft with an electronic motor, one that could fit in our vehicles without a trailer. We hauled that thing all over, and my son spent many happy hours driving our whole family or friends around in lakes and in the salty waters of the Puget Sound. I've always attributed this moment to my son's spirit guides, a gift from them, and that's probably when I told the story in an episode about spirit guides. I could tell they facilitated the boat experience. We had an inkling then because of what we had already seen of our son, but he's totally a boat person. He's a rower now. And even all that, we would have never gotten him a boat at that time if the universe had not responded to his plea, to his joyous requirement for expansion. This is Aimé Cartier, and you are listening to the Intuition for Changemakers show. And today we are talking about the thing that seers or psychic know that doesn't always seem obvious to everyone else, namely that the universe is responsive to you. I've still got one of my favorite stories to come, but before that, I'm going to dive into, for a minute, my book, Getting Answers, Using Your Intuition to Discover Your Best Life, because in it, I teach the formula that I feel seers since the beginning of time have known and used for getting the answer to any question you have. The foundation of the whole book is based on the premise and experience of what we are talking about today. The universe is responsive to you. And I always say, you don't even have to believe me. Your experience will show you. Here's a bit from the introduction of my book, Getting Answers, in which I describe what we are speaking about today. At the heart of it all, you are in a dialogue with Great Spirit. Call this whatever you like. Goddess, God, the divine, spirit, great mother, highest self, universe. In this Getting Answers process, you get in touch with a deeply moving and expansive relationship with something so much larger than yourself that you can't help but laugh at your own smallness. And yet, the more you play, the more you discover this absolutely amazing thing. The universe is listening to you. It wants to give you the answers to your most burning questions. It wants you to understand yourself or your next steps or how to save money or what this relationship means or what you are really looking for. Whatever it is that you want to know. In fact, it's just waiting for you to ask. Okay. Intention, manifestation, prayer, these are all different and perhaps finely tuned or precision instruments for this dialogue that you are already in with Great Spirit, Source, Universe. We're going to talk about that more in the next episode. The universe is responsive to you. And here is my last story for today, one of my all-time favorite stories. I mean, they're all good and memorable to me, but I can't even think of this one without a huge grin. The day I turned 40, which was about 11 years ago now, when I woke up, still laying in bed, the Beastie Boys song, You've Got to Fight for Your Right, came blaring in my head. Do you know it? You've got to fight for your right to party. I could go on here, but I'm not going to because I don't feel like I can do it justice like the Beastie Boys. Anyway, that's like the whole main chorus of the song, that you've got to fight for your right to party. Birthdays are kind of like portals to your whole life, or the culmination of. And I've noticed in my life that the decade ones are extremely potent. So I woke up with this song in my head and I started singing it immediately, of course. And remembering that I got that cassette tape of the Beastie Boys' Licensed to Ill album as a teenager while I was visiting my family in Alaska. I remember riding around in my aunt's little pickup truck with her and my cousins, and we had that song blasting, like streaming out of the open windows blasting. So strong, if we had stopped at a stoplight, everyone else would have heard it too. So that song is blaring in my head in the morning, and I'm totally into it. I'm like singing it around the house, so happy. So here's another thing about me. I hate hosting parties. I mean, not like I hate having people over at my house, but like I hate hosting like a real party. It's just not my thing. Like the details, the food prep, I just don't enjoy doing all of that. So knowing I didn't like hosting parties, but also knowing that I wanted a big one for my 40th birthday, my girlfriend Tammy offered to host a big party for me at her house. She figured everything out. It was so good. There was a bar in the kitchen that another friend bartended. The place was decorated with balloons and flowers. Another friend, Jim, showed up with a mustache station. He had an easel with brown felt tape, a scissors, and a mirror on it. You could cut yourself a mustache and then wear it around. It was so good. Tammy even lined up the DJ because obviously I wanted a dance party. Because she set everything up, to my utter delight, I hadn't even spoken to the DJ, meaning I didn't give him a vibe or a set list. I was just thrilled that he was there. Everyone was mingling. The living room was cleared out of furniture or rearranged so that the bulk of the room was free for dancing. Everyone was standing in the kitchen, like all humans are wont to do at a house party, when all of the sudden, from the other room came this.
Yeah! Kick it!
Yeah, kick it. Now, if you don't know the Beastie Boys, you can still probably guess that this is the intro to the song, You've Got to Fight for Your Right to Party, called You've Got to Fight for Your Right. At the moment the DJ Michael started the song, there was not a soul in the living room. What gave him the idea to start the whole event with a full rockin' song like this? Source, universe, goddess, my guides, the sacred energy that weaves us all together. I can tell you, as soon as I realized that it was that song, I dashed full speed into the living room and I became the first one on the dance floor dancing full throttle. It was so memorable to me, so delightful, so magical, so everything. It made the moment of what turned out to be a spectacular party, one of my favorite birthday parties of my whole life. As I keep saying, the universe is responsive to you. I know I'm repeating it, but I want you to go home with that. It wants you to have what you need. Its source is going to answer the questions you ask for sure, but it's also guiding you all the time, even outside of your questioning. We are a part of the weaving. We are a part of that very same energy source of the universe. That means we can also play a part. We can and do play a part for that, for each other too. Like the DJ was for me that night. Like we all are for each other from time to time. Showing up with the perfect timing or gift or comment at just the right time. Even when we don't even exactly know ahead of time just why or how perfect that is. In fact, mostly we are unaware when we do it. It just felt like the right thing to say or do. And sometimes we remain ignorant of the ways in which we shape and care for one another. Like that musician in Portland all those years ago, who still does not know and will never know what a profound effect his song had on me, the freedom that it gave me. But we can and do make a difference, make an effect for other people all the same, even when we're not noticing it or when we don't realize it. We are all a part of the weaving. Synchronicities are a part of life because the universe is responsive to us, because we are all connected, made of the same sacred energy as everything else. This is something we can not only expect, but in my experience, it is something to relish. It's actually really fun and very useful. So I encourage you to play around with this, to start noticing the ways in which the universe is guiding and responsive to you. One of my students just told our Solutionary Circle that she has a journal just for synchronicities. Isn't that lovely? If you have any synchronicities, signature of spirit moments, happenings by which a seemingly ordinary from the outside event provides something meaningful to you, I'd love to know. You can reach out to the show via text. Just click on the show in your podcast app on the show that we're listening to and click on the words, send us a text. Or you can leave a review with your revelation, or you can send me an email. Head over to my website, amaecartier.com, to get a hold of me. Maybe I will feature your comments at the beginning of the show when I do my shout outs. Until then, remember, you matter. You are not alone. We are here together. As you are enough. All my love. This is Aimee Cartier. Thanks for listening. If you want a purse-sized companion on your journey to understanding what we've talked about today, I say that because I once had someone tell me they carried my book around with them in their purse and were always whipping it out to reference and read to friends. And that is one of the dearest compliments I have ever received about it. All that is to say, purse or no, you can find a link to my book in the show notes, and that link there benefits our local Vashon bookshop. Toodles. Until next time.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.